Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
The first reading is from the book of Acts. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. Word of God, word of life. Let's read from Psalm 67 responsively. May God be merciful to us and bless us. May the light of God's face shine upon us.
Let your way be known on earth, your saving health among all nations.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide all the nations on earth.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
Your earth has brought forth its increase. God, our own God, has blessed us.
May God give us blessing, and may all the ends of the earth stand in awe. The second reading is from the book of Revelation. And in the spirit, one of the angels carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring into it the glory and honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river and the water of life, bright as crystal, and flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore. But the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light. And they will reign forever and ever. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel. Praise
to you, O Lord.
Jesus answered Judas, "Not Iscariot. Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now, I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Late this week, a high school acquaintance posted this to Facebook, and I'm quoting his post. The most dramatic end to an elder abuse restraining order case I've ever seen happened today. The abusive daughter was squatting with a friend in my elderly client's garage without her permission and was regularly yelling and cursing at my client. When the court in the Zoom hearing ordered the daughter to be removed, the daughter and friend, with Zoom camera still on, loaded up their car and drove away, and we got to see them go. My client was so relieved. His post reminded me that when people are young, they need their parents and, well, sometimes other people as advocates. But also when people are older, they too can need an advocate. The truth of the matter is that throughout one's life, there is a need for people who accompany others on their journey. There are times when everyone needs the kind of relief my acquaintance described. Today we hear Jesus promise an advocate, the Holy Spirit. This promise comes in the midst of his last teaching session before being betrayed, before being tried on trumped up charges, before being crucified. So, refreshing our memory just a bit about what that teaching moment looked like. Jesus started it by washing the feet of his disciples and then by commanding them to love one another. And then he continued by telling his disciples that he is going ahead to prepare a place for them. Then began the question and answer period. And Thomas led that off. You may recall, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In the midst of all this, Jesus offers the promise, not once, but multiple times, of an advocate, the Holy Spirit. And that promise then is followed with the promise that he is leaving those disciples with peace unlike what the world gives. Now, in conversations I often have, there are a whole lot of questions about this promised Holy Spirit. Martin Luther teaches that faith is a gift of the Spirit, that people come to faith by the work of the Spirit within them. One friend who is deeply concerned about these things asked me about this, particularly when the Spirit seems invisible. She noted people who live in despair, even to the extent of choosing death by suicide. And she was troubled by this promise and its apparent failing. Or times when relationships fall apart, no matter the amount of prayer, no matter the amount of seeking to follow the guidance of the Spirit. others wonder about disappointment after disappointment when trying to follow the leading of the Spirit, going down the wrong road, if you will. One might want to remember that before Paul had that vision in the Acts of the Apostles, which we heard today, the author tells the faithful that Paul's intended course was thwarted multiple times, and that being thwarted was by the Spirit. And as acutely clear as the part that the church hears today makes it sound, the larger story can be much more muddled. Certainly, the whole of the Acts of the Apostles recounts an early church that is continually surprised by what the Spirit called them to do. Peter went to a Roman official, Cornelius, and his household. And today we hear that Paul is directed to Macedonia after those thwarted efforts to go a different direction. And when he gets there, he finds not men at the place of prayer, but rather the women who gathered there, and they talked to him. And there he finds Lydia, a seller of purple cloth. And indeed, she comes to faith. And then there's Philip, who had that experience with the Ethiopian eunuch, who challenged him, "What is to prevent me from being baptized?" Over and over, the Spirit calls the early church beyond its history, beyond its inherited understanding of Scripture, beyond its sense of decorum and safety under the rule of the Roman Empire. One can imagine that in the midst of those moments of clarity, there were so many like Paul's where the mission seemed, well, to be thwarted by that very same Spirit. There must have been so many disappointments. There must have been so much anxiety. Their prayer must have been like that vision of John of Patmos. We hear that vision in Revelation today, where he reports for the faithful who are working as best as they can to hold on to faith so that they can face great trial, persecution even, under threat of being crushed by that Roman Empire. And it is there that he reports that there will be a new reality, a new Jerusalem, a new temple. He holds up hope. The most beautiful part of that vision is that God is the light. And in this new reality, this new creation, all that is corrupt will no longer exist. In each generation, people want the clarity promised by Jesus through having an advocate by their side. This same kind of clarity is defined by the light of God emanating from the throne in a city where there is fruit for every month of the year, where the leaves of the trees are healing balm for the world. Each of these episodes offers a vision and a way forward into the future. Today, as this congregation offers blessing for graduates, especially for high school graduates who will be entering all manner of adventure, there will be times when the Spirit's presence will seem inscrutable, indeed far off. There will be times when what seems so clear is thwarted. There will be times when so many will yearn for God's light to shine. Certainly, as ugly as the world can be, so many will hunger for the tree of life, indeed, that the healing of the world may be complete. With these visions, the faithful seek to live into the future, trusting that they may glimpse this activity of the Spirit. They will see a way forward that opens the hearts of many. May these glimpses be sustained by the light, the source of which is God alone. And may the faithful humbly acknowledge that so much of this will be rather mundane, certainly not as dramatic as abusive children finally vacating the premises under court order. May it be true that the faithful train their expectations to recognize in the ordinary signs of God's activity and presence. And may that activity orient the faithful toward a future that continually lifts all people up into new life. May the promised Spirit continually remind all creation of these assurances.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.